Because the term feeling is broadly used, I'd like to clarify where different experiences occur in our brain. First, when we experience feelings of sadness, joy, anger, frustration, or excitement, these are emotions that are generated by the cells of our limbic system. Second, to feel something in your hands refers to the tactile or kinesthetic experience of feeling through the action of palpation. This type of feeling occurs via the sensory system of touch and involves the postcentral gyrus of the cerebral cortex. Finally, when someone contrasts what he or she feels intuitively about something, often expressed as a gut feeling, to what they think about it, this insightful awareness is a higher cognition that is grounded in the right hemisphere of the cerebral cortex. In Chapter 3, we will discuss more thoroughly the different ways in which the right and left cerebral hemispheres operate. As information processing machines, our ability to process data about the external world begins at the level of sensory perception. Although most of us are rarely aware of it, our sensory receptors are designed to detect information at the energy level. Because everything around us, the air we breathe, even the materials we use to build with, are composed of spinning and vibrating atomic particles, you and I are literally swimming in a turbulent sea of electromagnetic fields. We are part of it, we are enveloped within it, and through our sensory apparatus, we experience what is. Each of our sensory systems is made up of a complex cascade of neurons that process the incoming neural code from the level of the receptor to specific areas within the brain. Each group of cells along the cascade alters or enhances the code and passes it on to the next set of cells in the system, which further defines and refines the message. By the time the code reaches the outermost portion of our brain, the higher levels of the cerebral cortex, we become conscious of the stimulation. However, if any of the cells along the pathway fail in their ability to function normally, then the final perception is skewed away from normal reality. Our visual field, the entire view of what we can see when we look out into the world, is divided into billions of tiny spots, or pixels. Each pixel is filled with atoms and molecules that are in vibration. The retinal cells in the back of our eyes detect the movement of those atomic particles. Atoms vibrating at different frequencies emit different wavelengths of energy, and this information is eventually coded as different colors by the visual cortex in the occipital region of our brain. A visual image is built by our brain's ability to package groups of pixels together in the form of edges. Different edges with different orientations, vertical, horizontal, and oblique, combine to form complex images. Different groups of cells in our brain add depth, color, and motion to what we see. Dyslexia, whereby some written letters are perceived in reverse from normal, is a great example of a functional abnormality that can occur when the normal cascade of sensory input is altered. Similar to vision, our ability to hear sound also depends upon our detection of energy traveling at different wavelengths. Sound is the product of atomic particles in space colliding with one another and emitting patterns of energy. The energy wavelengths created by the bombarding particles beat upon the tympanic membrane in our ear. Different wavelengths of sound vibrate our eardrum with unique properties. Similar to our retinal cells, the hair cells of our auditory organ of Corti translate this energy vibration in our ear into a neural code. This eventually reaches the auditory cortex in the temporal region of our brain, and we hear sound. Our most obvious abilities to sense atomic, molecular information occur through our chemical senses of smell and taste. Although these receptors are sensitive to individual electromagnetic particles as they waft past our nose or titillate our taste buds, we are all unique in how much stimulation is required before we can smell or taste something. Each of these sensory systems is also made up of a complex cascade of cells, and damage to any portion of the system may result in an abnormal ability to perceive. Finally, our skin is our largest sensory organ, and it is stippled with very specific sensory receptors designed to experience pressure, vibration, light touch, pain, or temperature. These receptors are precise in the type of stimulation they perceive, such that only cold stimulation can be perceived by cold sensory receptors, and only vibration can be detected by vibration receptors. Because of this specificity, our skin is a finely mapped surface of sensory reception. The innate differences we each experience in terms of how sensitive we are to different types of stimulation contribute greatly to how we perceive the world. If we have problems hearing when people speak, then we will hear only bits and pieces of conversation and make decisions and judgments based upon minimal information. If our eyesight is poor, then we will focus on fewer details and our interaction with the world will be affected. If our sense of smell is deficient, then we may not be able to discriminate between a safe environment and a health hazard, rendering us more vulnerable. At the opposite extreme, if we are oversensitive to stimulation, we may avoid interacting with our environment and miss out on life's simple pleasures.